Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to day number 3 of our interviews from this week. Tonight we have Tammy Rocco on. She's been on like the Munaz. And also, she was in Wyoming on the Red West. You know, she got to work with Clint Eastwood. That would have been my dream. And so I think she's already on the line. So let me bring her on. Tammy.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
Good. Thank you, first of all. David was so happy when you said yes. You know, I think you made him his year. Basically, he goes, we go. I'm like, okay, calm down. And so, yeah. And so I was looking over you, what you've been in, and you've been in a lot of stuff and good stuff, and you finally appeared as the Sired Actor in Hang'em High with Clint Eastwood. Okay, right there, I'm jealous of you because I love Clint Eastwood. I've always loved him. And so how was it working with him?
Working with him was very short-lived. I had a very small part in Hang'em High. It was one of my, I believe, last things that I did. I was one member of a family, a mother, father, a brother, and me. There were two scenes. One of them was where I was running down a wooden sidewalk in town, and then the other one was where Clint Eastwood came up alongside the wagon with all the kids in it, and I was one of the kids.
Wow. I would love that. I mean, yeah, being in a Clint Eastwood, even if it was a little moment, I would have loved it because he never makes a bad movie, in my opinion. And You've done the gamut of really good movies and TV shows. And I know you started out as a Sired actress. So for you, what made you get into acting? Because, what made you decide one day that you wanted to become an actress and a singer?
Okay, first of all, I became an actor at the age of 18 months old. I did not choose it. The lady that usually watched me couldn't watch me that day, so I had to go on a casting call with my sister. And my mother left me with the secretary. And then the secretary left to get a cup of coffee real quick, and I had to go to the ladies' room. So I knew where my mother and my sister were, so I walked into the room, and I told my mommy, "Mommy potty, mommy potty." And the director and the producers looked at my sister, and then they looked at me. And then they looked at my sister again, and then they looked at my mother, and they said, "We want her, not her."
Oh, my gosh.
But my
wow.
sister, she wasn't mad. She wasn't mad because they actually wanted a child younger than her, so she would have had to have played a little girl. And she was, when you're almost 7, I guess it was, because Cheryl was 5 years older than myself, you don't want to play a little girl because you're too consumed with the thought, I'm a big girl now. And so she didn't mind at all that the part went to me. She didn't mind at all. She's like, go ahead. So that was my very first acting role, and my very first father in the business was Robert Redford.
That is awesome. I mean, wow. I mean, and the story, oh my gosh. I mean, I'm glad your sister wasn't mad at you, because I think had it been me, I would have been a little, you know, like, wait, I came and now they wanted my sister. I mean, that is so funny and awesome, because, you know, sometimes it just, you know, sometimes I think things like that fall in your lap, and it really fell into your lap that day.
Yes. So that was my very first thing, and then I appeared in the movie Once a Thief, and Anne Margaret and Alain Delon were my parents, and Jack Palance was my uncle.
Awesome. That, I mean, that in itself, oh my God, I would loved. Now I have to check out that movie, because I've never seen it. So that, you know, I have to check out. And then, how about working with Anne Margaret? Because I have been a fan of hers for a long time.
Yeah, she treated me like her daughter. She gave me this gorgeous little orange wooden Swedish horse as a present, and so that was my little present. And she was just wonderful. Her and Alain Delon treated me like their real daughter. I mean, she was very loving. So was he. They played with me a lot. So was Jack Palance. Oh my gosh, Jack Palance. He was absolutely wonderful. What a great, great man. And Anne Margaret and I are still, to this day, friends. So that's the nice thing. I still call her mom.
That is awesome. Well, if you ever talk to your mother, you know, tell her she's always welcome on here, because I was a fan of hers from the beginning, and I always thought, that's the other person that can never make a bad movie is Anne Margaret. I mean, I just, you know, grew up watching her, and, you know, I think she's just incredible. And wow, I mean, as a little kid, you know, being able to work with, like, so many Hollywood people, right out of the gate when you were a little kid, that I think in itself I would have loved, because I think that would have been, you know, awesome.
I think so too. It was really, really awesome just working with Anne Margaret. And by the way, a lot of people don't know this, but her real name, like mine is Tammy, hers is in fact Anne Margaret. So you don't go up to her and say, you know, Anne, because that's not her name. Her name is Anne Margaret. So a lot of people don't know that.
Okay. That is very useful information. And a couple of years ago, I remember I wrote out myself on my own radio show. But I have watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and I remember you were on an episode of that. And, I mean, that is like...
I couldn't understand you. An episode of what?
Oh, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, yes. I was on, I can't remember the name of it, but it was filmed at the Hollywood Show, owned by David and Esther Eckelby. And she was there that day. It was just wonderful seeing one of the Kim Richards, I believe is who it was. It was just wonderful seeing, you know, her and talking to her. And I had a dog with me, owned by Laura, a friend of mine, and the dog was one of the puppies from the famous movie Santa Pups or something like that. And so, of course, everybody remembers that in the Monroes, my TV series, we had a Great Pyrenees dog. Well, Hercules, which was the dog that day, is a Great Pyrenees, and he's the son of the famous Santa Pups. So, or Santa Paws, that's what it was. And so we had an absolute blast. Kim called me over and we were talking about, because we were both kid actors, and they were filming me, and it was just a really fun time. So that's what happened.
That is awesome. I mean, that is my guilty pleasure. I mean, there's a lot of that I need to catch up on. But you were also on one of my favorite TV shows ever, Private Practice. And I remembered you on there. And I loved Private Practice, Grey's Anatomy. Like, those are my kind of shows. So how was that?
Oh, my goodness. Private Practice. I played a nun. And it was really neat because I met, what was her name? Frances Fisher, I believe is her name. And she's the ex-wife of Clint Eastwood. She was in that show.
Yep.
What a wonderful, wonderful lady. But what the show is about is a nun, a mean nun to a child. Well, the child that was on the show needed help in the acting area. And I found out that I love teaching. And so I was showing her the kinds of reactions that she needed to film with or, come out and do for what I was going to do with her. And it just went wonderful. I can't remember the director, but he's a very famous man, good-looking red-haired gentleman. He was on Anaconda, I believe. But he was so nice.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
What's his name? I can't remember.
Oh, no. It will come to me. It will come to me. Everything just comes to me usually.
Oh, I know. But anyway, I can't remember his name, but what a wonderful man. I introduced myself, and I was just playing an extra, and normally you're not allowed to do something like that, but because of who I was as a little girl, I didn't think that it was going to be completely forbidden, that type of thing. So I went ahead, and I introduced myself and to him. And he was just so wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Just so wonderful. And, it was a wonderful thing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think, all those doctor shows, I have to watch them because they are so good. And, Private Practice was a show I never dreamed that it would go off the air because I was just in so love with that in Grey's Anatomy. And, it just felt weird when it went off the air. I'm like, okay, you just messed up my Thursday night viewing, okay? So, those shows are really good. And you were also on The Mill. How about that? Because I love The Mill.
The Mill. Yeah, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No, I just was going to say another awesome TV show.
Yes, it really was. The Middle, I played, I was playing, Betty, I think. Barbecue Betty or something like that. Anyways, the casting call was for an outrageous type of a personality that had a country twang type situation. And I really put on all of my country outfit that day. I had my leather jacket that I had bought from Treasure Trove, and it had tons of fringe on it and everything. And it was just a blast to film. I was a judge of some sort, and was, again, short-lived, but it was just, I mean, I had a great time. There's no two ways about it.
Well, and you, by the way, you played Bonnie of the Bonnie Famous Barbecue.
That's it, Bonnie. That's it, Bonnie of Barbecue.
Yeah.
Bonnie of Barbecue.
And so, I mean, throughout your career, you went on a lot of, you know, TV and movies. And for everyone that doesn't know, that you were also on Let's Make a Deal in 2017, and I love game shows. I mean, my dream is to go on one. How was that experience for you?
That was a blast. And by the way, the gentleman that I completely forgot his name, the director of private practice, is Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Wayne Brady.
No, Eric. No, I'm sorry. The private practice, what we were just talking about, we couldn't remember what the name of the gentleman was. That was Eric Stoltz. But anyways, getting to the next thing that you were speaking about, my husband and I actually dressed up as fireworks, and it was with Wayne Brady. And we had such a blast. I should have chosen the silver stuff underneath the small box. That was worth way more, and it would have put me into the finale where, it's, you know, they choose two people and then you, you know, choose the door, basically. But I got, I think it was $1,500, something like that, and I just had such a blast. It was just crazy fun. But I'm a vibrant personality, you know. I'm a party in itself, my friends will tell you.
You know, that is awesome. And so how has the last couple of months been for you? Because basically, I live in Seattle, so basically we were almost out of the woods, you know, with this virus, and then we got sucked back in, and I really believe that the holidays are going to be so crazy this year, because I don't feel like it will be a normal Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's Eve. I mean, I really, really don't. How do you feel about that?
I believe that's a pretty accurate statement. I don't think it's going to be going away anytime soon. And the important
thing about
it is,
the
more that people defy the safe distance, the masks, et cetera, it will continue to just keep going on. It will continue to keep spreading. And it will continue to keep coming back. If people
mm-hmm.
would just, you know, put their masks on and deal with that part and try and minimize, you know, yourself going out and doing things, you know, you can still go out. You can still go have a blast. I mean, it's not as if you're literally trapped at home. I remember when I first, when this first came out, I went on Facebook Live and I taught everyone. I mean, not everybody has money. And when they have a little money, you know, when they have a little money, they have their phone. And so when they have their phone, of course, they have Facebook and all the other media sites. So what I did was I went on Facebook Live and I showed everyone. I taught them. You can actually go to my Facebook wall and then you can Google it. I mean, not Google, but do the search.
I know.
And what I did was I taught everyone how to make masks out of things that you already have in your home without having a spouse.
Wow.
And so I did an instructional video, and I also taught them, you know, what to do about their hands, because some people, you know, I mean, how do things spread? Some, you know, you touch something, you know, forget that you touched it, and maybe you know, had a French fry and you stuck it in your mouth and you wanted to taste the salt. Well, there's the transfer right there. So I also showed people, you know, what to put on your hands that you already have in your home. So I thought it was important to do something like that. So that's what I
totally agree with you on that, because I mean, the mask, if you go by, like, you know, a lot of them at the store, I mean, people are spending like $9-$10, you know, maybe just the one of the mask, you know, unless you buy a, you know, the pack at Walmart or whatever. But I just think that was really clever of you, because I would have never thought of that. Because, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, you know, it's like throwing away good money when, you know, you need a couple of the masks, because, you know, you don't want to wear the same one every day. And, you know, it's just better that way. And I never dreamed that we would be here and we would be at a stay-home order for this long. I mean, I knew once Seattle, Washington, where I live, we were one of the first cases here. And I knew since February that it wasn't going to go away that quick. So, yeah, and the good thing that came out of it was I've been doing interviews after interviews since this whole thing started, because Hollywood was shut down and no one could say no to me, because, you know, basically everyone was at home. And if we go the second wave, when that hits, yeah, I'm probably going to get more interviews that way. So I think that was very smart of you to start that and to show people how to make masks and everything. That is a really good idea, people. And please go look at Tammy's Facebook page if you want to know, because I will link it tonight. And so, yeah, and I better bring on the boys, because if I don't bring on David, I will never hear the end of it. And, you know, he's been so excited. Very cute. He's been funny. Yeah, David, you're on.
Hi, Tammy. How you doing?
Hi, David.
I'm doing good. How you doing? Time.
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm here in Florida, going crazy with COVID and trying to stay safe, all that. So I'm doing all right. Yeah.
Hey, you said you were going to introduce me, so introduce me. I want to hear it.
Oh, it's a cardiologist, cardiologist. I think she hit interview at the beginning. She introduced you at the beginning.
Well, I'm happy to hear you, honey. We were just talking about COVID, and, you know, it's crazy because now I've been home since June, basically. I lost my job as well, you know, with COVID, and, you know, getting interviews is basically few and far between. It seems like I'm getting more casting calls, though, for Zoom interviews, so that's pretty cool. I'm waiting to get, you know, something that I've put in for. So what's going on with you? What's going on with you guys?
Well, I'm here for that. We can't stay safe. You know, I think that's happening. It's getting better, but I think that's still happening down here in Florida. Some good,
yeah.
Some bad. So,
oh, yeah.
We're get our rain down. We get our rain down here lately. We're raining crazy.
What state are you in?
Fortlauderdale, Florida.
Oh, okay, Florida. All right. Ooh, I heard there's big bugs back there.
Well, that's true. Especially during the rain.
Yeah.
During the rain. Oh, bugs come out.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you were in the Monroes. He does what the Monroes is about and how you get the part.
Oh, how did I get the part in the Monroes? Yeah.
Yes.
My mother, I was also in a TV pilot called Meet Me in St. Louis. And I played the part of Margaret O'Brien's part, which was Tootie from the famous movie. And I guess 20th Century Fox executives saw that. He either saw Meet Me in St. Louis or Once a Thief,
one of the two.
And so what happened was the secretary called my mother for an audition for me. He wanted to see me. And so when we got to 20th Century Fox, my mother was heading through the door and she was going up to meet him. And I literally ran right past her and him while he was reaching out and shaking my mother's hand. I ran into his office. I jumped up on his executive chair and I threw my feet up and crisscrossed him on top of his desk. And then I grabbed his phone and I started conversating as if I was making a $1 million deal. And what happened was he saw me do all of that and he says, "You know what, Mrs. Locke, your daughter just landed the role of Amy Monroe in the TV series The Monroes because she's got guts." So that's
that
how I ended
awesome.
Up being on The Monroes.
Yeah. Wow.
That was pretty awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
What the
Monroes
about?
Barbara Hershey had never been on TV before, and she actually was snuck onto the backstage lot of 20th Century, and she read the lines that day, and we shot that day on 20th Century. So that was all, you know, about it. It was set in the 1700s. And it was about a family that the father had, because of the war, had left his belt buckle in a pile of rocks, which homesteads, I guess it's called homesteading, where you legally own that land by putting your belt buckle there. So we collected our land, and it was the kids, because the pilot segment was actually apparently so good that it was inducted into a museum, the Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma. Yeah, it was the best fictional TV episode. So that was the first episode, and that episode was about Amy, who I play. Amy got really sick, and a Indian who turned out to be Indian Jim, or Dirty Jim, and it was played by Ron Sobel, the great Ron Sobel. And he actually saved Amy because he built a sweat house. And so that's what the whole segment was about, is saving Amy. So that episode was inducted. It was given an award, the Western Heritage Award, and it's inducted into a museum in Oklahoma. So that was pretty cool, but basically about the kids, the big brother, big sister, twins, and myself, you know, having to fight to live there, you know, and you're up against all of the negatives back then, you know, the animals, the cougars, you know, everything that was bad, people and stuff. It was a good little show, and it was just released on DVD for the first time in 50 years, just a couple of years ago.
Wow.
You can actually, it's now on DVD. Shout Factory remastered it, and they purchased the rights from 20th Century Fox, and it's out on DVD. It's $10 for on Walmart.com, because that's where it was released originally. And now it's all over, so you can get it on Amazon, pretty much every place you can purchase something, you can get it there. Now, you don't have to pay anything over $10, so I know there's a lot of people out there that see a, you know, opportunity to make money, so they'll charge you $30, but it's not even autographed or nothing, it's just the DVD that they purchased, and they tagged on $20. so that, you know, they're getting $20 more. They're making a, you know, a profit basically. But, you know, it only costs $10. So I want everyone to go on Amazon or Walmart.com and purchase that DVD because it's really a wonderful family TV series, regardless of the fact that I'm in it. It was well written. Matter of fact, I met Kevin Costner about 3 or 4 years ago, and I introduced myself to him, and he told me that that was my TV series, was the one that he grew up watching as a kid, and he loved it.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool, you know, being one of Kevin Costner's, you know, very favorite TV shows. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then just recently, I was on two covers of magazines, the Hollywood Weekly and the Hollywood Monthly magazine. And if anybody wants to get a copy, just, you know, contact me at Tammy@TammyLock.com, and we'll see if we can't hook you up with a magazine, you know, for a minimal cost, of course, and I'll autograph it for you. So I want people to, you know, get a hold of me at my email address, Tammy@TammyLock.com.
Awesome. Also, you are going to Gunsmoke. We'd like you to work on Gunsmoke.
Oh, Gunsmoke. Yeah, I was on a Gunsmoke. I think the episode was called The Baker's Dozen because of the kids, how many kids there was.
Oh,
and,
I've seen that. Too. I've seen that.
It was a short, you know, it was a short part. Pardon me?
I've seen that, too. I've seen that, too. I've seen that episode on
TV. It's a great episode. Somebody told me, you know, contacted me a long time ago, one of my fans, and told me they just saw me on it. So that was kind of cool. And then they sent me the VHS on it. So,
yeah.
But if you go on YouTube, you'll see how Buck Taylor of Gunsmoke legitimizes the fact that I was in Baker's Dozen and I was on Gunsmoke. So that's a pretty cool thing. Do you have people calling in wanting to talk to me or anything?
Yeah, we have, David, we have two more calls, buddy.
Okay, well, thanks for answering my question. Y'all welcome back.
You're totally welcome back. And if you don't come back, you know, I may never hear it again from David. So, you know, I have to keep my PR person happy. So, yes. So, David, I'm going to bring on a call, and then I will bring on Bobby. Okay?
Sounds great. I'm available for another half hour.
Okay. 702, you're on the air. Oh, 702 left. Okay. All right. Bobby, you're on the air.
Good evening, Tammy.
Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm just curious, being that you're a former child, what was some of the questions you had as a child?
Your connection's not very good. I'm not hearing your question.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Barely, but go ahead, honey.
Okay. What was the perks as a child star when you did movies as a kid? What was the perks that you had when you did TV shows as a child?
Let me clarify. You asked what were the perks, P-E-R-K-S?
Yes. When you were doing movies and
Batman.
TV as a kid.
I got to meet Adam West, Batman, because his TV series was a lead in to mine. So that was pretty cool. That's a perk. Actually, the perks were, Bobby, because of my TV series, I acted with a lot of really great stars, really great, I mean, A-list stars, and I'm very, very blessed to have grown up with some of them for a short period of time back then, such as Darby Hinton, Bill Mooney, Darby Hinton was from Daniel Boone. Bill Mumy was from Lost in Space. Butch Patrick from The Munsters.
The Munsters.
Clint Howard and Ron Howard, and their father, Ron Howard.
No,
yeah,
did
I
meet
grew
Ron
up
Howard?
With a
no,
lot of
no,
really
he,
great stars.
Now, did you meet Ron Howard after he did Dan Griffin Show, or was this before Happy Days, or was it in between?
Okay, it was way before Happy Days, and I believe he was still filming Mayberry RFD when he did one episode called Teach the Tiger to Purr on my TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were all still kids. Mm-hmm. I actually sat. We went to school on set, and I was assigned Shirley Temple's wooden desk.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Her name
awesome,
was,
and...
was carved in it.
Oh, that's awesome. And
yeah.
It's a small world, because I never expect you to work with Ron Howard, who was a child growing up on the Ann Griffin Show, and then later on, later as a director in the 1980s and 90s, and still doing pretty good today.
Yes, he sure is. He's an amazing, amazing man. And so
yeah.
is his brother, Clint. You know, I think he really is an amazing actor, and I don't think that he's given the biggest chance to get out there, you know, by other directors other than his brother. He's an amazing mm-hmm. actor, and I wish he had, you know, starring roles and things like that in major movies
mm-hmm.
and stuff. He really is an amazing actor, his brother Clint Howard. So
mm-hmm.
That's just something that I wish. But Ronnie's become, you know, unbelievably
mm-hmm.
A-list. And
yeah.
so that's a pretty amazing thing.
And you met the late Adam West with Batman for many years on the TV series, and later the voice of the mayor on Family Guy, which I thought was pretty hilarious. But at that time, when I was watching Family Guy back when I watched it before, I kind of given up on watching the show after Seth MacFarlane released the Ted movies. And I figured
right.
about it at that time. But
right.
anyways, it's great talk. It was great to talk to you, and you're welcome back anytime.
Great with talking with you too, honey. I don't know if anybody
Hi.
Knows this, but you know, after I left show business, I actually became a professional roller derby and was trained by the famous John Hall and Ralphie Valadares of the Los Angeles Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
I also had a radio show.
Right.
I also had a radio
seeing...
show.
Mhm. I remember
I
seeing the Thunderbirds play a lot back in the day in roller derby back in the day.
Yeah, it was a pretty hard sport. There's no two ways about it.
I think that was the lead into what the WWE is today, as far as it being scripted and everything like that. Because when I watch the roller derby of today, that's more serious than what it is back then.
Right. Well, I think they should come back with the bank track, because that's the original one. That's the one that Raquel Welch, matter of fact, my friend John Hall, the famous John Hall, the manager of the LA T-Birds, he actually taught Raquel Welch her skating to be a roller derby queen on her show, on her famous movie. So,
right.
I mean, he's an amazing man as well. I mean, oh, my goodness. I was also a radio show host, just like you guys. And I also
mm-hmm.
was a country western singer. I was a headliner. So I sang all
wow.
over the band.
Did you get a chance to work at the Grand Ole Opry and did some singing over there in Nashville?
I went to the Grand Ole Opry. I met all of my you know, favorite stars back in 1983, like Sylvia and just a bunch of major stars. Barbara Mandrell. I
mm-hmm.
sang at the Stockyard. I sang at Tootsie's in Nashville and the Stockyard. And We went to Billy Bob's in Texas and Gilly's in Pasadena, Texas, and I've sung all over the place, even Las Vegas.
Wow. I learned a lot from you tonight, and with that being said, like I said earlier, you're welcome to come back anytime, and I hope you have a good night.
Well, thank you very much, Bobby.
Bobby. We would love to have you back. And also, I will be sending out invitations in November for David's birthday. Party on Air is the last part of November. And, you know, I think with all the craziness, you know, we need to celebrate a little. So, yeah, so I will send you the info when I give a date and time and everything. And he would love it if you could call in.
That sounds great. I also want to finish.
Okay, thank
with
you
the
so much for calling in. And like Bobby said and David said, you are totally welcome anytime.
Thank you, Carly. And please tell everyone that I'm writing my autobiography of my entire life. So if they could just keep an eye out for it when it comes out. It's called Can't, Got Stuck in the Mud, and it's still there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
morning.
Let me know when that comes out,
and
then we'll have you back on.
I'm sorry. Come back to promote it, and let me know when it's out on Amazon.
That is awesome. So, yeah, buddy, thank you so much for calling in, and yeah, keep me posted about your book because we will put that on our website when your book is out. So.
That sounds great. You have a wonderful evening.
Okay, thank you. Have a great night.
Carly, David, and Bobby, may bless you all.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you very much, Tammy, for those wonderful, sweet, kind words. And, Carly, you did it again. You have gotten another great star that I literally just found out about just through this program.
Well, David, are you here?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. And David, will you be on tomorrow or will you be in dialysis?
I'll be in dialysis.
Okay, so Bobby, remember,
I can make it.
We have Nathan coming on at 9 my time, noon your
time. My
time.
Yeah.
I have a couple of half an hour interviews, and then we will be done for the week of shows, and I did not end up going to get my book out today because my mom got the day wrong. I will have it done on Tuesday.
Yeah, I have a couple of announcements.
So which is good, because then I can rest after the show, after the dentist. But, yeah, just remember, you guys, watch the debate tonight because, you know, just to see him muted for 2 minutes is awesome, if you ask me. But just remember.
And, Carly, I just found out just watching the NFL Thursday Night Football pregame show that they have moved the Seahawks-Cardinals game from a 4 o'clock local time for where it would have been seen in Phoenix and Seattle to a NBC Sunday Night Football game. So instead of being at 1, it's going to be on at 5:20 your time, 8:20 my time on Sunday because there's a problem in the Raiders camp with the COVID that moved that to a 4 o'clock local time game for the Tampa Bay and Las Vegas market.
Well, yeah, I just want to thank everyone for calling and listening. And my niece had her tonsils out yesterday. And when she woke up, the poor baby did not know where she was. Oh, my gosh. It broke my heart. But, you know, She got a present out of me, so that's good. So, yeah, we will be back tomorrow morning. And have a great night. And go Biden. Right, you guys?
That's right. Have a good night.
Okay. Night, guys.
Good
bye-bye.
Night, David.
Bye.